For Notre Dame football fans, there's no sweeter sound than the words,
"Touchdown Notre Dame!"
or "Irish win."
He's in for a touchdown! The Irish have come from behind!
As a fan of the Fighting Irish, you know that Saturdays in the fall are not just game days. They are unforgettable experiences. Welcome to a fan's perspective on Fighting Irish football. This is Dome and Domer. Here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name is Mike Brammer. Joining me tonight, Ed Jordanic. And for the next 20 minutes, we're going to discuss Cam McDaniel's run for the Heisman. Actually, a little bit of a prophetic tweet by you. It was the last week prior to the season on Tommy Rees and Cam being somewhere up the level with Heisman voters. You got to give Rees a lot of credit. I mean, let me start out by doing this, Ed, because I'm curious to see, you and I have not talked. This is actually our first chance, and I'm curious what your feeling is after the game, knowing that you've had 24 hours to sit on it. Where do you stand with the Irish performance?
I think it's exactly the kind of opener that you want. Some sloppiness that the coaches can really get the players' attention to during this week of practice. Some good performances by your key players, you know, the people that you're really going to need to lead the team this year, like Tommy Rees. I think Temple was a lot tougher than we gave it credit for. I certainly kind of made a joke about their converted baseball player, tight end, quarterback, and I thought he was the toughest kid on the field Saturday. He was, he was pretty good. Much better than I thought. Yeah, I was impressed with his moxie, and he had a pretty good arm too. He let it fly a couple times, and you could tell.
He was a baseball center fielder.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he threw that one from what, the 35-yard line?
Yeah, I think so.
And it was 5 yards deep into the end zone.
Yep.
So, I was impressed with him. They clearly have a good head coach. I mean, that guy's got some pedigree to him. And it looked to me like this ball club was well coached. So given that, it'll be really interesting to see where Temple shakes out the rest of this year. But I'm in line with you. I mean, yeah, I was disappointed we didn't blow him out. But the truth of the matter is, I saw a lot of good things on Saturday, especially from the standpoint of where the program's at and what kind of future is in line for Notre Dame. I would start in one area. Let's just start here. I mean, the depth at running back is impressive.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked Amir Carlisle. I think he's going to be a great weapon for us out of the backfield. He's got great hands. I mean, this is a kid that he's an athlete, and I think on those third down conversions, you may be able to slip him out of the backfield and get some coverage on a linebacker and look out. I mean, he's got some great hands.
Right. Well, that was my contention from the beginning that, you know, Tommy, he'll make some mistakes, and he's not, he's certainly not Randall Cunningham back there. But the issue is that he's going to, most of the time, 9 out of 10 times, he's going to pick the right guy to throw to. And that's just as important as anything else. So, when you see DeVaris kind of matched up, one-on-one, when you see Nicholas, matched up, one-on-one with a linebacker over the middle, when you see Carlisle, there was one throw that he missed. I think he had Atkinson underneath and he went kind of long into the end zone I don't even know if it was for Nicholas or if it was for TJ Jones. It was kind of not a poor throw. So he missed a few too, but how can you argue with his efficiency? And, besides Teddy Bridgewater and the kid from IU, I think he had the best performance out of any quarterback in the country on Saturday. So, you're right with those kind of weapons with Carlisle. TJ Jones looked like a different football player to me.
Yeah, I thought so.
Didn't he look to you like he had a...
He really looked good. I mean, he made some great runs after the catch that he has not done in previous years.
Yeah, he looked like he had an extra gear.
Yeah, he exploded after he caught the ball. So,
and look what a difference he made on punt returns already. I mean, again, 25 positive yards, in three returns or whatever it is about half of what we had all of last year. So, that's... That in and of itself, helps with field position a little bit. T.J. Jones is he was really impressive Saturday. And when you put him and Daniels and Carlisle and Nicholas and all these guys kind of in one soup, if you can have a quarterback that picks the right one to throw to, they're not all going to be covered on every play.
No, that's exactly right. And I think that if you look at what happened Saturday, just as you said, Reese recognized the man-on-man coverage, and he threw to the right guy, and it was for big yardage. If you watched what Temple did the rest of the half, they basically went back into a 2-deep zone.
Yeah.
And they didn't do a lot of man-to-man. And then when they did, Tommy found it right away, and we had another big gain with T.J. Jones down the sideline. But, I think that we talked about this before the season, and that is this, that Tommy Reese of 2011 didn't have, or as of today, enjoys a much more supporting cast that's a lot deeper.
Definitely.
Than he had in 2011. And I think as a result of that, he doesn't need to make the big play and isn't forced into throwing the ball in situations that he doesn't want to. And I think he's going to face a lot less third and long situations this year than he did in 2011.
Yep.
So from that standpoint, the third and longs is where his inability to scramble really hurts you. And it really puts us in a bad situation. But I think that if he can just manage the game like he did on Saturday, and I expect the same against Michigan, he's going to go in there in a night game, in a big atmosphere, and has already taken his team down the field and scored in the last minute in that situation. So from that standpoint, I don't think any of that's going to put big lights into, his eyes. That's not going to fear him at all. From that perspective, I really like the balanced approach. We had like 27 pass attempts with 35 rushing attempts, and that's what you want. And I just think the backfield, I've always been a big fan of Cam McDaniel, but his ability to read the holes and then hit them, he's not a runner that's indecisive. He's a guy that the second he sees it, he busts for it. And I think as a result of that, that's a guy that is going to get you 4 yards if it's there. He may not get you 40 yards, but he will get you 9-10 yards if the hole's there. Yeah,
I thought it was really interesting how they kept the first unit, Martin, Watt, Martin, Lombard, and Stanley in almost, I think, to the end of the game. They were still in there with Hendricks. They were in there blocking for Bryant and Folsom. I think that was probably on purpose, just to get them as much work as possible. I'm not even sure if Hanratty or Elmer played. Mike Mayock, he's a good analyst, but he had a terrible day on Saturday. I mean, everything from, calling Lewis Nix chocolate thunder to talking about a play made by Chris Badger, who left the team 10 days ago, to, talking about, they show Steve Elmer on the sidelines and he inexplicably says, well, Elmer's in the game right now, which he wasn't. I mean, he had his helmet off on the side. I mean, it was really, he kept screwing up. And it was kind of disappointing. You got to note that a kid's left the team. And plus, there was a message that went around that, he messed Cole Luke up early in the game because Cole Luke was wearing 36, for the game. And I think Eli Hardy switched to 16, which was Badger's old number. I mean, everybody knew all that kind of stuff. So, Dan Hicks is a big upgrade and he did a real good job. But I thought it was one of Mayock's. I mean, he seems to be getting a little bit more full of himself as his career goes on. And it gets a little bit tiresome at times.
Yeah, I caught a couple of those as well, and I just chalk it up to guys that just don't care about football as much as we do, or at least Notre Dame football.
Well, I mean, he's got to remember that, the vast majority of his audience is Notre Dame fans who follow this stuff regularly. They know what's going on with the team.
Yeah,
they read Indy Nation, they read Irish Illustrated, they read Blue Gold, they read Irish Eyes, they read every single columnist that writes every single word about Notre Dame, and they sure as hell know when a kid, has left the team like Badger did 10 days ago or a week ago or whatever. I mean, they know the difference between, they know. I mean, Lewis Nix has had his, Irish chocolate tweet handle for like 3 years now. Okay. This isn't like, Daryl Dawkins was in the 70s. Okay. I don't think, or in the 80s at least. I don't think we're expecting too much for him to know the team that he's going to cover seven, Saturdays. And I know, he's got the NFL and all that kind of stuff, but good Lord, you're on a plane, open up, crack open your laptop, and read a website once in a while.
I hear you. Well, that for me was probably the only only disappointing part of Saturday.
Yeah, no, no. I'm just kind of, because he gets a little bit of a, you know, and rightly so. He does a good job, but it just seems that he kind of mailed it in on Saturday and wasn't very well prepared, which is unusual for him. But my point about Elmer was just the offensive line. And, you know, obviously they need to do a good job for you to see the holes that some of those guys had. And I was just kind of interested that they kind of kept that whole unit on there, you know, well after the game had been decided. And I think that was probably on purpose.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And I think that, you know, the offensive line needs those reps to get synced with each other. And, you know, with the big game coming up in Michigan, it kind of made that. I tend to agree with you. I think it was on purpose. And it was done in light of the situation that's coming. The other thing is, I mean, I know that coaches don't like to show everything in that first game, right? Because they know that they want to get away with the win without showing as much as they have to. I think on Saturday against Michigan, everything's going to come out. I don't think you're going to see anything being held up. But I do think that you probably will see a few things that you didn't see on Saturday. And, you know, typically that's how coaching goes. So that's going to be real interesting to see. Carlisle slipping out in the backfield on some coverages where he stayed in, you know, the entire time against Temple. Things like that that I think you're going to see that'll make that difference of one or two hits. You know, I think it'll be interesting simply because, you know, the success that we had moving the football, you know, offensively, in the first four games, did we move it like that other than Navy, who, you know, pretty much, you could argue maybe as wasn't up to snuff as Temple was on Saturday last year. But the offense, I think, is in a little bit of a different situation than last year in the first half of the season.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I mean, remember,
simply because they got weapons that we just didn't have.
And they're also not breaking in a new quarterback. I mean, right. You know, so, but let's talk about the defense a little bit because it was so interesting. You know, it's such a typical, you know, such a typical Notre Dame defensive performance. You know, were there problems or apparent problems? Yeah, but they kept the points down. And, you know, listen, Temple missed two field goals, but, you know, Notre Dame missed two field goals. But they kept the points down and they start out shaky and then they really firm it up. I mean, it's really a defense that seems to just, you know, and that's in-game adjustments and personnel and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, they had a lot of trouble with this quarterback and his feet, in the first half.
Yeah, exactly.
And, they did not, Eshak had them dead to rights and, you know, couldn't break down and contain him. And, you know, he got outside for some long runs and, you know, they gave up some decent pass plays over the middle and they really tightened it up in the second half and played much better. But I still think the ace in the hole for this team, is its defense. And I believe Diaco is really going to have their attention this week because there was definitely, you know, Nick's had some sloppy mistakes and, but there's going to be, you know, there's definitely room for improvement. Shoemate had some bad plays and some bad angles that he took on a couple guys. But I expect them to ramp it up significantly this weekend.
Yeah, and I think that it's going to be real interesting. We'll learn a lot about this football team and where they're at after Saturday night's game against Michigan. But I tend to agree with him. And I was disappointed in Nick's and just kind of the sloppiness of jumping off sides where it wasn't like there was any kind of movement or anything. I mean, he was just trying to be over-anxious. And that's just something you don't normally see from a senior veteran like that.
Yeah.
But I would imagine they're going to be all over him in practice this week about that because those are big game changers.
Sure. You want to make those mistakes against Temple because they can really affect the outcome against Michigan. You know, I mean,
oh, big time.
You got to get those out of your system because they're really magnified in a much closer, potentially closer and bigger game. So, I have a feeling that there's plenty of constructive criticism in the film room on Sunday for both offense and the defense, but I think especially the defense because they did not dominate. You know, I mean, they were solid, and like I said, they kept the points down, but they certainly didn't dominate. And you know, Temple again, you know, very very raw quarterback, not really any playmakers, a bunch of Smurfs on the outside. You know, they did not have huge weapons, certainly not. Toussaint or, you know, Gardner is obviously very mobile. I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on him. Actually, I could see Notre Dame shaking him up and causing a couple picks. But you know, Michigan has, definitely kind of better athletes on the edge and on offense than Notre Dame saw on Saturday.
Yeah, and I think it's safe to say, as Brian Kelly was saying in his press conference, they're going to have to play better than they did on Saturday if they expect to beat Michigan at Michigan. I think what will be interesting against Michigan is that, much like what Temple did, you're probably going to see some double teaming on Knicks. You're going to see some double teaming on Tuitt when they run to that side, and which ultimately means that Calabrese and Fox and Smith are going to have to pick it up because they are going to have to make plays. And I think that'll probably drive it as to the success we have defensively.
Yeah, it didn't seem like we heard Fox and Calabrese's name called too much. I mean, I think they ended up with the most tackles, but they're quiet. They had kind of quiet games.
Yeah. They played, both of them played much better in the second half.
Yeah.
And, you know, it could just be that they got a feel and a sense for the line in front of them and what was happening and where the double teams were and then where they shifted to adjust. So, you know, I think that they'll get a crack at watching some film and all that stuff. But I want to bet that our success on defense come Saturday night is going to come down to how well those guys play in the linebacking core.
Was it my imagination, or did they just not go anywhere near Kavari Russell all day? I mean, I don't think I heard his name or saw him almost. I mean, maybe once or twice, but it just seemed to me that he basically had lockdown on whoever was on his side of the field. I mean, I
was watching him, and I thought he did. I mean, I thought he looked the best.
I think he's a star. I think he's a star in the making. I mean, he is. He is going to be. You know, he's a sophomore, and he's going to be. I mean, I think he's going to be an All-American cornerback. I mean, I just think that he is just getting better and better. I mean, he was so impressive last year as a freshman, and I don't think we're going to hear much about him this year because I don't think anybody's going to throw to him.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, he was all over his guy. He didn't give him anywhere to breathe. So that will be really interesting. So I wonder if Notre Dame is going to lock him up intentionally. I don't think they'll do it against Michigan, but, man, you certainly want him on the best athlete on the other side of the ball, because he, by far, he's the best. I mean, it just.
Yeah, I mean, Bennett is good, but I think Kavari's better.
I agree. Yeah, I really do. And I think, you know, Shumate didn't play great, but by the same token, I mean, for coming out and getting a bunch of playing time, I mean, overall, I was impressed with the defense. As you say, they didn't give in any points. Yeah, there could have been two field goals they gave up, but in light of everything, I thought they played well. It probably bent a little more than I would have wanted. But the truth is, I mean, when it came down to it, they made the plays when they had to. Yeah.
And didn't Temple get their touchdown? I mean, running touchdown after a roughing call on Knicks?
Yeah, they got it on
right,
the 2 yard.
Right. Yeah. Because it was, I mean, it seemed like they had a chance to force another field goal attempt there, or at least a fourth and goal, before that happened, right? Is my memory correct? I'm not sure.
They did get who made the pass interference play in the end zone, and it was.
Oh, sure. That's right.
Yeah. He had his arm wrapped around.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's what got him to first and goal at the two.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And then they kind of pushed it in. But, you know, I mean, the penalties, yeah, that's a little disappointing. I mean, but again, other than that, I was just so impressed offensively. And again, you know, Daniels being out, after slightly pulling his, I really thought he would have scored on that.
He would have.
Yeah, I mean, that ball was right there.
And I was trying to think, like, was it? I think it was better for Notre Dame long term that he gave up on the play, because I think, and that's kind of like Daniels. You know, I mean, I think there's a lot of guys that would have just busted right through that and made the catch and then been out for 2 weeks.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Right.
And yeah, I'm with you 100% there.
And I think,
I thought it was. Yeah. I mean, a great move by the coaching staff keeping him out, because, man, it's all about next Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think he could have made that play, and because he didn't, and I don't care if he didn't because that's the kind of guy, you know, that's the kind of player he is, or because he just knew that something was wrong, or, you know, whatever. But I know a lot of guys, you know, I think that there's a lot of guys that would have just gone ahead and made that play and worried about the injury later, but they would have suffered a pretty, you know, not significant, like, season ending, but that it would have put him on the shelf for a while.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I tell you, with him and Jones, I mean, man, that is, and even Nicholas, I mean, the nice run that Nicholas had, he needed that too. I mean, I think he needed a confidence builder.
Sure.
And Chris, that was huge.
Yeah, and Chris Brown had a couple nice catches, and, you know, he's obviously going to have to be accounted for. And Corey Robinson didn't even touch the ball, right? They didn't throw his way.
Didn't get one. You're right. Right. But, yeah, and I think that overall, from that standpoint, the offense to me just looks so much better. And Tommy looking as confident as he was, I'm going to be shocked if they don't play well Saturday at Michigan. And I think that the thing that got me excited about this year, just in what I saw in the game against Temple, is I think the difference between the offense and defense last year was greater. The defense was under a ton of pressure to keep things low, to counter our offense, whereas I don't think that's going to be the case this year. I really don't. And to me, that's why I was excited. I'm excited about the future of Notre Dame football only because I can't remember the last time we had this much depth at running back. There are some serious athletes in the backfield right now and are going to be good over the next 3 years. I mean, I think the future looks bright for those guys. They really look solid to me.
Yeah, well, you know, if you could, I mean, I would really, if I was, you know, to me, you know, the game plan is very traditional next week against Michigan. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but, you know, and for the season, but if you can run the ball and stop the run, I mean, you know, put all the pressure on Gardner, you know, contain him and make him make throws, you know, make him make good decisions and make him make good passes. And that goes, you know, for pretty much throughout their schedule, you know, put the pressure on the quarterbacks that you play this year, bottle up the run and put the pressure on the quarterbacks to make plays because, it's not a very accomplished group. And, you know, if you can do that and conversely, you know, on the other side of the ball, you know, if you can average 4.5 yards a carry, you're going to have a lot of success again this year.
Yeah, that's right. And to me, it's going to be really interesting. I think we'll know a lot about this football team after Saturday night, but I think one thing is good. And that is that these guys offensively are way ahead of where they were last year at this time.
Oh yeah.
And I think as a result of that, they may eke out a couple wins here that they wouldn't have last year. And the pressure isn't on
the
defense.
Well, they won all their games last year, Mike.
I know that. What I'm saying is this year, in that situation, I think the offense is going to give them that much better, more of a pushing. But, you know, I just like these guys offensively. Even though we only put 28 points on the board, I could see us doing exactly that, Saturday night, no problem against Michigan.
Yeah.
It's not going to surprise me at all if, you know, we put 14 points up in the first quarter, with everybody being healthy and us running our game plan. And I think that's where the pressure really starts to mount with our defense having a 14-0 lead. You know, just as you said, make Garner make big plays.
Yeah.
And right now, you know, I didn't really see much of what they did. I know he had two picks that he had against. I don't know if those were off receivers' hands and then into the defense or what.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know.
But, you know, to me, I really like where we're at offensively at this point in the season, and I think that's going to be the key for us moving ahead. I don't think our defense needs to shut people out or put them at 10 points or less like we had to last year.
Right.
For me, we just need them to play well, don't give up the big play, keep our offensive guys fresh. And, you know, really play just solid defense like we're capable of and let the game dictate itself.
Yeah. Well, Brian Kelly said before the game, I think when Alex Flanagan asked him on the sidelines about, you know, concerns about Tommy and the offense. And, you know, I completely agree. I think he's really comfortable having this kind of balance because sometimes you tend to, you know, run an entire offense through Eifert or through Floyd, you know, or, you know, that, and that's kind of what, you know, some traps that they fell into and being so dependent on those guys. And, you know, having this kind of balance, I think, is healthier in the long run.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, and I like the way Reese just picks. I mean, if you're going to give T.J. Jones that 8-yard out, I mean, take it. Take it all day long.
I would
just take that all day long. And I don't know that Michigan's going to do that, but I do think that it's not going to be surprising to me if Michigan looks at this game film and starts thinking a little bit differently than they did prior to the game. Because I think if you look at the game film, you're going to see what Notre Dame took advantage of, and that was a lot of one-on-one coverage, and that's where they had their huge success.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see if Michigan gambles with that, knowing that Reese is the kind of guy that's going to see that situation, and he's going to throw it to the right guy, and then it's going to come down to do our guys have that ability to make the play in man-to-man coverage. Yep. I think we do. I think it's going to be our strength.
When you do those little swing passes or bubble screens or passes in the flat or whatever, you know, and you've got, you know, Nicholas, you know, one-on-one blocking one of those DBs. I mean, it's kind of hilarious. I mean, he just kind of swallows them up, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt. And that's a big strength. It's going to be the key to us, I think, offensively all year long is just going to be that. I mean, I think we'll spread it out. We'll keep it to a lot of different players and let TJ and Daniels get into their one-on-one coverages and just exploit that. All right, good deal. We'll leave it there. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanic, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.